This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 235 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch, who
Hello.
Is not in New Orleans, but back in California.
Yes, where I can get actual healthy food again.
Why do you say that?
Everything was fried in New Orleans. I'm sure you can even get fried protein bars if you really wanted to.
Oh, man. It sounds like you're under the weather, too.
I am. I got...
You got the traveling sickness.
Yeah, so I'm a bit of a hermit crab, you know, because I work from home and generally stick to home. So, yeah, anytime I get to a conference and tons of people, then I usually end up getting sick a couple days after I get home, and that's the case here. But it would not deter me from doing the show. I don't care how sick I am.
How about that? So, we had an awesome show last week when we had both Andrea Middleton and discuss all things WordCamp, and then we had on Mendel Curlin. And I just wanted to remember how we said we brought up the issue of how certain states haven't had WordCamps yet, and Idaho was one of them,
yes.
We were mentioning Boise.
Yep.
Well, somebody had left a comment on the our episode notes here, and I'm going to try and look it up really quick. But lo and behold, we had a listener from Boise, Idaho.
Hey.
Which I don't know. It's just really crazy. And it was a gentleman by the name of Tevya, fiddler.online. That's his website. And it says, great episode. Really enjoyed hearing from Andrea. I'd begun the process of starting to meet up here in the Boise area, but I was just too busy at the time. Things have changed, and I'd like to make it a priority with the goal of having a WordCamp here in the next few years. And he says he's going to reach out to the team soon and restart the process. So you never know who is listening to us and from where. And and put a big smile on my face to realize that we specifically mentioned Boise, Idaho, and we have a WordPress Weekly listener there. And they're going to work on getting the meetup going again and possibly a WordCamp. So we'll see what happens here in the next few years. And probably doesn't even have to take the next few years. Probably get a year to get the meetups going, get just a small nucleus, core group of people going, and you could have a WordCamp pretty much from that core group there.
Absolutely. And I wonder, are there other states that we've left out of this particular challenge? Obviously, if we resurrected the
Nebraska,
entire...
Montana, Wyoming, those three I know of.
Yeah.
Those three for sure. But, man, that would be cool. WordCamp Alaska, Anchorage. That would be a pretty cool location, literally.
Yeah. No kidding.
So great to hear. If it would be interesting to see if we see a WordCamp in Boise, Idaho, and WordCamp Central scheduled anytime soon. So with that said, we have a pretty cool show lined up for you this evening. Our special guest tonight is James Giroux, who is the CEO of Groundwork CC, which is a digital design and marketing company, but he's also the WordPress evangelist, the new one for Envato. Of course, Envato is it's a big marketplace where you could sell themes, PSD templates, HTML stuff. Let's see, what else? Code Canyon, WordPress plugins. So the last time we actually had a WordPress evangelist on the air, at least for Envato, was Jeff Thompson. Back in April of 2014. So it's been a while, and there's a lot of pretty big changes happening over at the Envato Marketplaces. So it's a great time to have James on the show and give us a scoop on everything that's going on over there. James, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So that Giroux, we were talking a little bit about it off the air. I mean, is that like a French-Canadian name?
It is, yeah. I hail from Ottawa, Canada.
So, because my first instinct is to say Giroux, but it's actually Giroux.
Yep.
How about that? So, Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with WordPress before we launch into the Envato story.
Sure. Well, I've been working with WordPress, gosh, since about 2006, I think. And really,
10 years.
Yeah, really early days, and became the platform of choice as I was building websites for, you know, whoever I happened to be hanging out with. And from there, I just snowballed. A couple years ago, about 2012, I decided to go full-time into website design and design in general, and started to get involved with the community a bit here in the area, attended a WordCamp, and from there just started to meet people and get connected to different community groups, and here I am a few years later, the WordPress evangelist for Envato. It's a crazy, crazy story, and really cool, and I think just goes to show the power of the community that really is around WordPress, that somebody like me, you know, from a small town like Ottawa, can become really, I guess, a global spokesperson for a big company like Envato. It's huge and crazy.
And what's the WordPress community like up there in Ottawa? I know there's been a WordCamp Ottawa there for a few years now. Is it and are the attendees primarily French-speaking, or is it a split between French and English?
The WordPress community here is it's neat. Because Ottawa is Canada's capital, you have a lot of federal employees who are doing a lot of enterprise-level infrastructure stuff and dabble a little bit in WordPress, and so there's a lot of that, you know, Drupal, Joomla, people who come to the Hangouts for WordPress. But you also have some really cool stuff around the education space. One of the major universities here, Carleton University, actually, their main website and all of their community portal stuff is all done on WordPress. And so their team tends to get involved a lot in the local meetups and at our work camp and talk a lot about some of the stuff at scale that they're doing, which is so cool. So it's really neat. And then we draw, French Canadians. We're right on the border with Quebec here, so there is a French community, but all of the sessions are done in English. But that's also because we have WordCamp Montreal, which is about a two-hour drive from here, where they might do a French stream. It's pretty fun. I like being from Ottawa. Good community here. And, of course, it's also the home of Shopify, so there's a lot of Ruby on Rails guys hanging out as well.
Ah, the home of Shopify. How about that? Yep. And they got to have them show up and partake in a WooCommerce session or something.
I think that would be really neat. It'd be really cool to see them come out and engage with the community a bit, especially because they are trying to get a little bit more involved with WordPress with their new plugin and things going on. So there's room for them to come and hang out for sure.
So how did you initially come across Envato? Do you sell things on there, or are you just an active participant? How did you end up in the WordPress evangelist role?
It's a great question. I've actually been a customer of Envato's for about 7 years, and which is crazy to think that it's been that long. But that's how I started with Envato, was just buying assets here and there, whether it was video stuff or audio, and then some WordPress themes and graphics and stuff like that. And actually, it's how I got here to the role of evangelist is just by attending events. So I went out to WordCamp San Francisco in 2014, the last one they had there.
Oh, you were there too, huh?
Yeah.
That was the infamous fire alarm.
Yeah, that was fun. So I was there and met up with a theme author from ThemeForest there, whose name was Adam Pickering. He was just attending and we met over Twitter. I asked if there were any other Canadians going. He said, find me. So we hung out, went out for dinner. It turns out, we actually have friends in the same circle and went to the same summer camp, like just crazy things. Like,
how about that?
Yeah, like just a couple of different things like that connected us together. And he said, you should come check out Pressnomics. So I went to Pressnomics for the first time, and then we hung out at WordCamp Toronto, and the way I actually found out about the job posting was Adam talking to one of the guys that works at Envato about the posting, about the job that was up for a WordPress evangelist, and saw it, clicked the link, and thought, why not, and applied. And here I am.
Yeah, Jeff Thompson was there for I think a couple of years, at least 2 years, I believe, and then you accepted the position or were hired at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And what have between the beginning of this year and up till now, what are some of the things you've accomplished, or what are some of your everyday duties as a WordPress evangelist for Envato?
It's a great question. It's really two sides. So on one side, I'm the face of Envato to the WordPress community. So I spend a lot of time just connecting with different people around the space. If people have questions about Envato, I answer them. If new theme developers are looking for ways to get into the community, we'll help them out with that. Obviously, a lot of planning around specific events and trying to get a lay of the land. I do a lot of systems work of just looking at how we do things and the process that we have in place, and try to figure out, okay, can we fix that? Is there a way to do that better? And internally as well within the company, I'm the champion of WordPress. So if, WordPress is a big part of Envato's success, and I have the awesome job of being able to talk about what's going on in WordPress and what's going on in the community with all the different stakeholders in the company. And it's been great just how welcoming they are, how excited they are to have me there, even as a remote guy, because for those who don't know, Envato is based out of Melbourne, Australia, and they have a big staff contingent there and a bunch of us remotes that work around the world. And it's just been great. So I get to sit in on meetings for different things and offer some insights on how the WordPress community might interpret something, some ways that we can take advantage of what's going on in the WordPress space. Yeah, it's a lot of that kind of stuff.
So let me ask you this. How thick is your skin? Because in that role, and the things that I have seen and I've read and have reported on, and the things that have happened, you have to have a pretty thick skin to be the face of WordPress for Envato. I mean, I'm sure there's no shortage of criticism that you read every day about, whether it's Themeforest, whether it's the review queue, or all these other things associated with the marketplace.
One of the things that I have found is it's really easy to be harsh when Envato is a faceless corporation. But as soon as you start to get to know people, a lot of that goes away. And, for me, having thick skin, that's part of it. You can't let anything, affect you personally, because it's not really about me personally. But the other thing I would say is just the camaraderie that the company has. They're all your greatest backers, and it's really easy to champion a company when the team that's there is so amazing and just brilliant people all working hard to do good by other people. And that's the side of Envato I hadn't seen until I got into it.
Yeah, that's the side the majority of us don't see.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we see is what's presented to us on the surface, and if there's something screwed up or there's a change made that quite a few vocal authors don't like, I mean, we think that, wow, there must be some some things that are internally messed up and embattled. But, I mean, none of these changes are taken lightly.
No, I think, one of the core values of Envato is that we succeed when the community succeeds, or we succeed when our authors succeed. And when you're operating at the scale of Envato and with the number of different theme authors, no decision is made lightly. Everything is done, carefully and methodically and with a lot of data behind it. Always in that kind of thing, there's going to be feathers that get ruffled, because if you're used to having something done one way and then it shifts to a different way, that can often have effects at scale that are very different than effects in a lot more of a smaller business setting. So, yeah, the challenges are magnified, but the opportunities are magnified as well. And I think that's one of the exciting things about Envato, is that there's lots of great opportunities there.
So speaking of changes, Marcus, did you have a question?
Well, yeah, I just want to know, being that they're an Australian company and you're based in Canada, how do you differentiate the times? Do you have flex schedule? Do you work on their time? I imagine it can get a little confusing with meetings going on.
One of the great things about Envato as an employer is they've worked really hard to make flexible work just a modus operandi. So, everyone in the company has flexibility to pick their own hours. One thing that we might not see here in North America is just how great Envato is as an employer. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but they were voted last year like the best place for women to work in Australia. So they do a lot around diversity and things like that. And as far as my schedule goes, I have a nice app on my computer that lets me know what time it is in Melbourne at any point in the day. But what's great too is I get to do meetings in the evenings, and it's pretty casual. These guys are great. I've only had one 2 a.m. meeting, and so I count myself lucky.
So we know that Envato is based in Australia, but there was a huge announcement late last year about Envato expanding overseas or expanding to America. Can you I know you're not the CEO, and I don't know how much you know about this, but maybe expand on those changes and what that means for the company, or at least for theme authors or sellers?
Yeah, I'm not up on all the details of the decision around it. It was kind of made before I got there, so I don't know a lot of the reasoning why. But what I do know is that it's happened. It's allowed for things in the market that are really cool, like just even the kinds of credit cards that can be accepted and how all that works. So the payment systems have undergone a huge improvement. But my guess is the reason for the move is that it's actually going to empower them to grow the company and do the things that they want to do in a much more flexible way than being based solely out of Australia. So,
It seems like the company will all the users and buyers will still interact with Envato, which is registered in Australia, but with the U.S. division of the company, I guess that would allow Envato Market to take payments from and make payments to U.S. users in U.S. dollars or something to that effect. I guess it would make the process a lot easier.
Yeah, it simplifies it. I think it'll be neat to see Envato as an employer in the U.S. as well, because we have contract staff that can become employees and be interesting.
Oh, that's a huge benefit to them.
Yeah. So especially when Envato is such a great company to work for, it's really easy to be excited about that. So.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, I've seen presentations of Kallus Taid, I believe is his name, the CEO for Envato. It's a bootstrap company. Up to this point, he has refused outside funding, venture capital funding, so everything is still considered bootstrap. And he seems to be a down-to-earth, passionate guy that just wants the community and everything around these marketplaces to succeed and do as much as you can in the best interest of the community. And it's kind of interesting how you look at this balance here of, well, if you make certain changes or you upset that balance of the community or your sellers, and they either go somewhere else or they stop selling on their platform, then ultimately Envato suffers. So it's pretty neat to kind of look at that balance and how it has to maintain each other, that this cycle.
Yeah, well, it's one of the exciting things about Envato too is, what's in our best interest is our authors growing. And the more that we can help developers and designers and musicians and artists succeed and grow their individual businesses, the better we do. So the whole emphasis of the company is around that. And being inside it and hearing that and actually seeing even in the organization of how the company is set up, the way everything is geared towards helping authors grow and develop their skills, and there's just so much available to Envato's community of authors. Like, it's crazy. It's so cool.
So what do you know about the item support policy changes that were launched back in September 2015, where now people could purchase 6 months of support on an item, and the price varies depending on when they're purchasing things. I tried to make heads or tails of it, and I just scratched my head. I couldn't make sense of it.
Well, the author support policy came out of a desire to make ongoing product support more sustainable for authors. Up until the change in the policy, it was basically an unlimited license forever. So unlimited updates, unlimited support for as long as time went on. And obviously,
we know that doesn't pan out. That doesn't it's not what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a good model.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
It's not sustainable in the long
sustainable,
term.
Sustainable, that's right. Yeah.
And so there was a lot of thinking that went into, okay, how do we do this and what do we do? And remember, when you're starting out with one theme and 100 customers, shifting policies like this is not a big deal. But when you're talking about the scale of Envato to a customer base that has never, from Envato at least, experienced any kind of recurring support model or recurring payment model, to do it and to do it in a way that was responsible was something that a lot of care was taken in. And I think that the way the model works is that you have 6 months of product support when you buy your product. And after that 6 months, you can choose to renew the support for another 6 month period, and the amount you pay for that support is dependent on the cost of the product that you buy. So on one hand, it's the sustainability side, but on the other side, there's also a recurring revenue aspect to this. It's very easy to think that when you get a product that's selling on Envato, that, and the sales keep coming month after month, that's recurring revenue, but it's actually not, because you're often selling your product to a bunch of customers every month, but it's not the same customers every month. And so it's a lot of hard work that goes into getting you those new customers every month. And this is a way to help increase the lifetime value of the customers that you have by doing the support recurring.
Well, that makes sense to me. Maybe I should have just had you explain it to me when it first launched, because I saw a number of people responding into the forums that they didn't like the change, or that it wasn't, I don't know, maybe it was the price, or maybe it was the length of time, or maybe it was the specifics involved.
Yeah, they were mad at 50 cents a month for support. God. I mean, come on. That's a huge bargain. If you use these plugins on a regular basis, and especially if you use these plugins
for themes,
as a developer or designer or any of that, support is, that's nothing. Hell, build 3 years of it into the cost for your client, right, that you pass along. So I see nothing wrong with that as a model. I think the pricing is completely fair. I've even had it to where I've had support on particular plugins or themes gone to their support forum, and then obviously I couldn't get the answer fixed, so the developer went to my website and fixed it for me. So that's huge in terms of support. That's the kind of thing that you get. And plus, you can't expect a plugin or a theme to not get better if they don't have recurring revenue to pay for those changes. So I disagreed with you then, Jeff, but I think you're starting to come around.
And speaking of support, one of the other major complaints I read around this policy, and I don't know if it was because of the policy or if this has existed, but the infrastructure that ThemeForest has for providing said support, what can you tell us about that? Because I know a lot of authors were actually linking to support desk software and maybe forums outside of Envato and in order to provide the support.
I'm not sure I fully understood the question.
I mean, what type of infrastructure is in place in Envato that you know of for ThemeForest to provide support?
So individual authors are responsible for supporting their own products, and that's been the same since day one. The forums that exist are really more for traditionally have been for the authors and the author community to find out what's going on and get help with things. That's changing as we're opening it up now for our customers to actually come in and show off what they're doing, which I think is really cool. But every author is responsible for their own support, and I actually think that's a good thing. It allows each individual author to create a system that fits their company's workflow and personality. They get to choose the tools that best suit what they're looking for. The other thing I think is important about that, and this might just be me, but the reality is that Envato owns the customer relationship and the customer data. When a customer buys something from the Envato market, the individual author doesn't own that information. So the support systems that could get set up is an opportunity for the author to actually meet their users, actually engage with them, and develop relationships that they can then extend to other products or services. You know, if they become affiliates through Envato, they can upsell other products. So it's another way for them to generate revenue and also extend the lifetime value of the relationship they have with the customer.
I want to expand upon something, which is that you don't have an internal system in terms of that support. Why not? I mean, I know what you said is in terms of, okay, it's up to the individual author to be able to make their own presence and things like that. But it seems like an extra step that technologically Envato should already have those kinds of resources in play to provide that.
Well, Envato does. Envato okay. does have a whole team, especially around, accounts and payments and mm-hmm. refunds and things like that. So there's definitely a whole help team that's responsible for making sure customers are cared for and there's ways for them to interact, with them. But
if I buy a plugin, if I buy a plugin, why wouldn't I just be able to go to that plugins page? You would know that I have the token or whatever that I've purchased it because obviously it doesn't show, it shows that I bought it. Why not put the forum there? Otherwise, what you're doing is you're saying if you come to Envato and you buy 10 plugins, potentially you're going to have to go to 10 different sites to get support for them. Whereas I think it would encompass everything. You could just say, here's what you bought. Here's their support forums for those particular plugins, themes, whatever. Do you feel that is too tough to do in terms of that? Or I'm looking at it in the sense of the plugin developer who has to go spend all this time on a plugin, now you got to go make a website for support.
Mm-hmm. I know that there are a lot of tools that help authors create those experiences. One other thing is an author doesn't have to support their product, which we don't recommend, but that is an option as well. But I don't know. It's a good question.
You already have a feedback mechanism on every plugin and theme and everything else in terms of people asking pre-sale questions all the time. It just baffles me why you would want to go in 50 different directions rather than just kind of reeling it into one place.
Well, I think that's part of the value system of Envato too. Remember, it's not about us owning everything and doing everything. It's about us helping businesses grow and helping them develop their own customer base and develop their own business and model. And I think that if we were to hold all of that on our side, and this is me extrapolating on this, I haven't had a lot of time to think about it, and this is an internal policy or anything, but thinking out loud, I think that you know, if the value is to help businesses grow and to help authors grow and developers grow, then allowing them to own as much as they can of their business and their system, I think is a better way forward for them. It makes them not dependent on Envato for everything.
So I have not, I don't think I've ever been a customer. I've purchased anything from either Code Canyon or ThemeForest, so I don't know how this works. There's things I've read. No, I'm just kidding. But what can you tell me about the update process for a product on ThemeForest? And just to keep things simple, let's say, like, for a theme, what's the update process there for a theme for customers?
Yeah, so there's two ways a customer can update their product. The first is right in the dashboard, they have the option when they buy a product to get sent email alerts every time there's a product update. So, you know, if it's a theme, for example, and they release a new point version or whatever, you can get an email of that, and you go in, you can download it, and you can FTP it or set it or send it off to your site setup however you want. The other way is through a plugin. So Envato has a plugin that you can get and install on your website, and you throw in your purchase code, and very similar to the WooCommerce updater. It just gives you the updates right there in your WordPress dashboard. So, yeah, two different ways that customers can update their products.
I wonder why they chose to go that route where you had to install a plugin, and or maybe the plugin was to, as you say, be the verifier of actually having purchased those items. It sounds like maybe that's what it is, instead of just outright being able to get a link, you know, like how the normal theme directory works, the free WordPress server theme directory, where you get a notification, you click update, boom, it's done. But, yeah, I can see, I guess now thinking about it, I'd understand why a plugin needs to get involved there. And the other way is actually an email notification with a link to download the actual zip file of the theme, and then you would have to manually upload it, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, I was just kind of confused there because, you know, thinking back to, I don't know, was it 2014? And I'm probably going to bring this, it's probably like a doomed word to say it within Envato, but RevSlider. And, you know, the RevSlider incident going back, was it like 2 years ago, where I thought maybe the update process was broken or there was no way that people could get the updated bundled RevSlider plugin that was in all these themes, and it was like a hard process for users to be able to automatically update to a secure version. I just thought maybe there would be some easy way there, but it's glad that they have two different ways of updating now.
Yeah, and I think too part of that is you know, with the slider, often those are bundled or packaged right inside the theme. And so a customer doesn't have an individual license to RevSlider. They have the theme author has bought an extended license to be able to do that. And even though RevSlider itself or any included package is up to date, really in any development environment, it's up to the author, the developer of the specific package, to do their own update and to update all their dependencies and push that live before customers can get it. So that's a challenge. You know, I think that goes beyond just Envato, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's a challenge. It goes beyond to the whole point of why should things even be bundled in themes? And boy, we've debated that ad nauseum.
Yeah. Well, even dependencies in packages like jQuery.
Or how? Yeah. Or know? Dependencies. You know, having built-in dependency manager in WordPress. That's come up a few times. So that's cool. So I want to talk about some huge news. This is big time because I think I and maybe a lot of other authors who sell items on ThemeForest or across various marketplaces didn't think this would ever happen. But Envato's sort of experimenting with it and they're rolling it out to different categories. But apparently there's going to be something called flexible pricing to sellers across various categories, and some of the categories already have this enacted. What can you tell us about this change in what it means for Envato and for sellers?
Oh, I am so excited about this. It's something internally we call author-driven pricing, and it's basically the idea that authors will actually be able, like, to give you some background. For the last few years, Envato has set the prices of products in all of its marketplaces. And part of that is a legal thing. So it is illegal, and this is, I think, a global thing. It's illegal for people to fix prices. So if Envato as a company is talking to an author about what they should set the price of their product as, that's, illegal. So the solution was Envato will set the price and away we'll go. And now we're actually flipping this on its head. And so instead of Envato setting the price, we're giving complete control of that over to the author to be able to set the price of their product and judge where they think it's going to fit in the market and what price point they're comfortable with and allow them to go forward with that. So I'm really excited about it because one of the things I've heard from plugin and theme developers outside of Envato is because Envato sets the price, if their product is priced higher or lower than what Envato sets, if they are selling something outside of the Envato marketplace, their customers outside will get a little bit upset that, you know, there's not price parity. So this is going to give plugin developers and theme authors who maybe have avoided Envato because of that inability to set price the opportunity to jump in and make sure their prices are consistent, whether it's on Envato's marketplace or their own website or wherever they choose to sell. So I think that's really cool.
So technically speaking, much like the App Store, there's a good probability that we'll see someday a $1,000 plugin.
Well, I can tell you right now, Marcus, in the PSD category on Envato Marketplace, I found a PSD template for $10 million. Which apparently is the maximum amount you could charge for an item on Envato with this author-driven pricing. And so far, they haven't sold one template.
What a shocker.
I mean, imagine that. Talk about efficiency where you could become an elite author on Envato just with one sale. That's pretty good.
Yeah. What do you say to that, James, when you hear that in terms of somebody setting that kind of price?
I think that's the beauty of flexible pricing. Authors
can set
however they
want. You can't think that's a good thing, though. It's making light of the entire directory.
I think, again, one of the challenges Envato has is we can actually tell authors what we even think is reasonable pricing for their products because that would be price fixing. So I have to be careful how I word things. I think that setting a price like that, yeah, it might make a bit of a mockery of the system, but I also think it's flexing the muscle and saying, okay, how high can I go? What can I really do? What can I really get away with? And I actually think that's good. Because it's saying, look, you want to post a product for $10 million, you can do that. And and now you have that freedom to do it. So that's really cool.
So what do you think the trend is going to be in terms of which direction will the pricing go once this is fully implemented? Do you think that a lot of authors with popular plugins are going to raise their prices based on this? Do you think that there will be people that just want to undercut? What's your feedback thus far?
I think there are definitely a lot of fears in the community. And if you read the forums, there's lots of people who are worried that it's going to be a race to the bottom and it's going to price people who operate in highly developed countries. It's going to put them out of the market because people where their cost of living is a lot lower can set their prices lower and still have a great revenue and a great way of living. But I actually think one of the things that we'll see is the plugin side actually get more, the value of what you get from a plugin will be reflected in the price. I think right now plugins are undervalued. And I think that seeing some of those prices go up is actually really, really good, both for the amount of time and energy that these plugin authors are investing into their products, but also for the ecosystem as a whole. One of the challenges that the whole ecosystem has, and this goes beyond Envato, is that because prices are set generally where they are, the whole ecosystem is impacted by that. And the ability for authors now to have a conversation internally amongst their team and go, okay, let's take a look at what profitability looks like. How do we include the cost of support into the price of our product? How do we include the price of marketing or the cost of marketing and all of these other costs that we have? We can now take a look at how much we actually need to sell a theme for in order to break even or to make a profit. And so we'll see theme companies and plugin companies start to be more sustainable. I think that by doing something like this, the life of a product will get extended. So rather than products having 1 year or 2 years of life in them before they get shut down or shuttered, we'll actually see authors be excited and invested in continued growth in them. So I think those are definitely the pluses of this system.
Great. I think the race to the bottom is a valid concern. I don't think it'll be a reality. I think you're going to see the market play itself out, and the higher products are the ones that already have traction. I think you'll see them increase their price, and they'll be able to maintain it. And for some of the other products, no, it gives them the opportunity to fluctuate a bit and maybe go up a little bit or maybe go down a little bit to see what works for them. But I don't think everyone's going to charge the lowest amount they can. It makes things less sustainable that way. And if you take a look at outside of the Envato marketplace in the commercial realm of themes and plugins, there is this sort of stigma 2, 3, even 4 years ago about a race to the bottom. Maybe the marketplace has had influence on that, but there's been this change of attitude where, no, it's okay to charge this amount. You charge what you feel is equal to the amount of value and time that you put into your product. And there's been a lot of encouragement from longstanding members of the WordPress community to increase your rates, increase your price, and get what you want for it out of there instead of trying to get the largest volume of customers via lower prices. So you kind of have all that coming into play with the whole pricing thing.
Yep, I completely agree.
So let's see. So that's huge. Now, for what I know, I think the WordPress category, at least on ThemeForest, is the most popular category in terms of amount of sales. I don't think authors can set their prices for WordPress themes just yet, can they?
Not yet, no.
And, well, any ETA? Can you break the news?
I would love to. I think the best thing I would say is this is a measured and systematic release. And obviously that's a high value category for Envato. There's also a lot of revenue at stake for our authors, and we want to make sure that when we do it, when we roll it out, it's we've worked out any kinks that might be there from some of the smaller categories or things like that, and things we discover along the way, so that when the bigger categories get launched, you know, the thing is humming at full speed.
So let's talk about one of the largest complaints that I've heard and I've read and I've seen, and it's sort of still there, and I sort of saw it addressed the other day in the support forums, but it's the length of time it takes to get an item approved through the review queue. What steps do you know of that Envato has taken to shorten this queue?
Well, historically, and one of the challenges that our Envato review team has had is that our system has not given enough feedback to authors when we do what's called a hard reject. So a hard rejection of something is where there's so much work that needs to be done in order to make the product viable that it really would be basically a brand new product when it gets launched. And there hasn't been a lot of information given about that. And so one of the things that internally we've been trying to do is figure out how we can adapt the system so we're doing more of what are called soft rejections, which is where your product's close, it's almost there, but there are a few things you can do that would get it, you know, over the line, and giving more detail on that. And because of our desire to want to give more feedback to authors and actually help them with their products and know what's going on and what needs to be worked on, that requires a lot more in-depth work from our reviewers. You know, it takes a lot of time to write up those descriptions and give them all that feedback. And that's led to a lot of the challenges around the queue. And right now they're working to address that internally. We're hiring, and so if you are in Canada or Europe, and or you know anywhere outside of Australia and the U.S. and you would like to be a WordPress reviewer on ThemeForest, we're hiring. So send us a resume, careers@envato.com.
How about that? And I saw this stat today, and it was mind blowing. But each month the ThemeForest review team inspects over 500,000 unique items. That's 500,000 unique items, not including updates.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the volume is crazy. And the team is working. They are so committed. And, you know, I love the whole group of reviewers that are in Envato and just the care that they do put into what they do. You know, and they really... You know, I was having a conversation with one of the reviewers today, and you know, just the way that they work internally to try and figure out what's the best way forward for this author. How can we give them the advice they need? Obviously, we have a limited amount of time and resources to do this, but we want to give them the best possible feedback we can. And to see that that's the attitude and that's what they're working towards, I know it's hard and I know it's frustrating when you're product or your you know next thing has been sitting in the queue for a while, but they really do have authors' best interest at heart and the customer's best interest at heart as well, and they have to balance those two sides much more than a lot of other people in the company do, and they do a great job.
So what's your favorite part of the job?
Oh, it's a great question. My favorite part is getting out and meeting people. So I get to travel. Part of my job is to go to work camps and other industry events and conferences and hang out and talk to people and engage. And just hearing the stories and meeting people and talking about how, like, I mean, it's so cool. Because of the values that Envato has about helping the community grow, my job is like, okay, how can I help you grow? How can I help you, you know, get more customers or do a better job of marketing or whatever it is? And I get to have those conversations with people day in and day out, and that is so much fun. And so when I go to conferences and events and get to meet people in person, and have those conversations, it's fantastic. That's probably hands down my favorite part of the job. You know, the other thing that's really cool about what I do is the strategic side of it. I'm a strategic thinker. I love thinking of different ways of doing things. And, you know, Envato is really cool. Like, if I have an idea for a strategy or some way to do something differently, you know, I can take it right to Collis, who's the CEO, and ask him, say, hey, I'm thinking about this, or, you know, talk with my team and my manager and pitch something. And it's just really neat to have an environment that's open to that. And, you know, anyone can talk to anyone about any aspect of the business and offer insights. And especially as the WordPress evangelist internally, it's really cool because I get to I get to throw the WordPress perspective into a lot of the conversations that are ongoing. That's pretty awesome.
So one of the most popular functions, I think, within Envato in terms of the marketplace that I think is severely underrated for the value is Graphic River. I've purchased templates for every size banner imaginable, including Facebook size and all of that, already pre-formatted, ready to go. You just change the text and add a picture of your choice. And that's like $10. I mean, I don't know why Graphic River is not more well known in terms of being able to provide that kind of service. And frankly, all of you listening to the show, if you're not using Graphic River for a lot of your designs or some of your components, you need to give it a second look. But how has Graphic River grown in terms of Envato, and are there any new things on the horizon that we can expect?
Well, we have been testing out something called Elements, which, let me just double check here, is something new that's coming to Envato. And it's basically taking some of the greatest items that you can find on Graphic River and creating a subscription model out of it. So, you know, it's like templates and actions and fonts and icons and graphics and the whole deal and doing that. So I would say check out Elements. It's, I think the address is elements.envato.com, and we have a landing page there. So that's the future of that. But Graphic River is not going anywhere, and you're right. It's great, and there are some really cool things that we've tried with Graphic River. Unstock is another thing. Yeah, there's lots of great opportunities. This is the other thing, too. If you're out there and you're creative and you're looking for a way to become an author, you know, maybe the technical challenges of a theme or a plugin are beyond you, but you're a really great photographer or you know how to do sketch or a PSD, you know, that's a really accessible way for you to jump into the Envato market and get a feel for what it's like to be an author and generate revenue. So definitely, I agree with you. Graphic River is a great place to get your start as an author on Envato.
And subsequently also, VideoHive is a great source for things like After Effects templates or things like that. I have had the pretty good fortune lately to get a couple of templates from VideoHive and then just go find an outsourcer to customize it in terms of all the different elements that I want in it, and that maybe is another $100. So you get kind of a finished video for $200, where I don't know where else you could find that kind of thing. So I applaud both of those sites, and in fact I would say in the last 6 months I've probably purchased, I don't know, three times as much in Graphic River and VideoHive as I have in Code Canyon or Theme Forest.
Yeah, I mean, video is great for SEO. It's great for user experience. So anytime you can find a video and that works for you and customizes a site's look and feel to you and gives it your vibe as a company or as an individual, that's great. I use VideoHive all the time too. I can't believe the value. Like if you look at some of the different like broadcasting packages they have and things like that, it's crazy the value you get and just how good quality they are. And that's not me talking as the WordPress evangelist. That's me talking as the customer. Creating products for clients or whatever, it's fantastic. And the head start you get with some of that stuff, and quality that you get to give your clients or customers, oh, it's great.
And yeah, and let me add to that, which is it's great for those of you out there, and I know we're kind of getting off the WordPress end here when we talk about Graphic River and VideoHive, but if you're trying to promote your website and you want to do a Facebook video ad, if you don't have good resources for it, forget it. You're going to spend a year trying to put something together if you don't know what you're doing. And with this, you can just buy templates, customize them, put your own logos in there, any of that. And usually you can create a 30-second ad for Facebook and roll with it. And that's pretty much unheard of. I know that there's Fiverr and all that, but that's just not – it's not quality. You're not going to get anything good. And the nice thing about this, too, is that you can even troll through the VideoHive site to get ideas for things, and you can serve that thing and have them customize it for you. That's a nice option. I haven't used it yet, but I think I'm going to just for a test very soon. So, and then I noticed, we just killed off the Flash subdomain.
Active done. That was the first marketplace in Envato ad.
Yeah. Is there, and then we have Envato sites, which I have a beta to. What other revelations are coming about that we haven't talked about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think one of the great things about Envato is it's always testing out new things. There's always a test or a trial or an experiment going on. This is something I talked about a little bit at Pressnomics. It's that if you're out there as a service provider or a product creator and you think you've got a great idea for a partnership with Envato, Envato's really good about testing things out. And the scale of our marketplace is great, but the thing I think people don't realize is we're always experimenting. So we just concluded an experiment with Sidekick, with some of our theme authors integrating Sidekick into their product offering. We have other tests that are ongoing, in different arenas as well. It really is a place that likes to test. We like to gather data. And we make decisions based on the data. And so in order to do that, we're always running different experiments around, product partnerships or different ways of doing things. And I think that that's, without saying there's any one specific thing that's coming out next, I think you can expect to see that go on. So always be on the lookout for something that looks a little bit different or new.
Before we wrap it up here with you, I wanted to let you know that one of my favorite things that was introduced through Envato were those short videos of sellers and their businesses and what they were doing, and you could see some of these people were awesome graphic artists, and you could see them sketching out websites or designs on sketchpad, pen and paper, and they're working in their offices or outside or wherever inspiration lies, and these were like little 4 or 5 minute sort of interview/ inside looks at some of these different 1 to 2, 3 person companies that are doing well on the Envato marketplaces. And I don't know, I haven't seen one for a while, so I don't know if the program's still going on or not, but I would encourage, maybe you could pass this along for Envato to keep doing those, because I always enjoyed those. Those are cool.
Yeah, I love them too. Nothing makes you feel great about the place you work than seeing authors and their success stories. you know, it's great. I've been telling a few stories as I've been traveling around too, just about authors, you know, even in something as niche as the construction industry, we're seeing one author based in Slovenia who, you know, they're generating, I think last year they generated $200,000 in revenue just by focusing on the construction industry. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me, but it just goes to show you the success that you can have with Envato. And so there are tons and tons and tons of stories like that, you know, of authors that are just doing that. I saw on the forum the other day as well, an Audio Jungle author who just hit their $75,000 mark in sales. Like, that's cool. And he's just so thankful, right, and excited about it and loving that he can do this. So, yeah, you're right.
There's tons of great stories out there. No, I'm deeply ingrained in the WordPress community, and I hear complaints from developers all the time about code quality and prices and the themes. And the themes have 60 different sliders and all of this, all these different complaints of ThemeForest. But at the end of the day, in the greater scope of things, we have to look at and realize that Envato, the various marketplaces, provides an incredible opportunity to so many people across the world that otherwise may not have had one, or would have been very difficult to go out and create a website and get that marketing and get the reach and build that momentum on their own, when they could just build off of the success and the amount of power and traffic that the various Envato marketplaces has. And I think that's an incredible thing that at the end of the day sometimes gets overlooked, is the amount of opportunity that the various Envato marketplaces generates for people all over the world. I mean, I think that needs to be harped on a little more.
Yeah, collectively, sellers have earned over $300 million selling items and services through Envato. Like, that's a great number.
I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, maybe at some point, maybe I get some creative itch and I start selling things on ThemeForest or some other marketplace, and maybe I could build a house for my whole family. That'd be pretty nice.
Well, we'd love to have you.
Oh, man. So, James, it was great talking to you and having you on the show to give us an update on all things Envato. What can you tell us? How can we keep in touch with you, and how can we follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @JamesGiroux.
Love that name.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be around at events. I'm going to be at WordCamp Hamilton in Ontario, WordCamp Ottawa, and then WordCamp Europe. So if you're around, come find me. I'm going to be leading a tour in Vienna on the 23rd, so the day before WordCamp Vienna starts. If you're around and you want to hang out, I'm going to be hopping around all the sites, and we'd love to just meet as many attendees at WordCamp Europe as possible.
Holy moly. I bet you're going to have a great time at WordCamp Europe. And I bet you that'll be fascinating to talk to the people who have marketplaces out in that area, you know, get their experience.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Well, James, thanks again for being on the show. And unless, Marcus, you have any final questions, we bid you a farewell.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, we've covered a lot. Envato is a giant marketplace, and you can see that they are really focused on, you know, product quality and making sure that they have a great relationship with the producers out there. So good job to Envato, and thank you, James, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so sorry about all the technical difficulties, folks, but apparently the electrical grid is not as fail-safe as we would like it to be here in the U.S., especially in my neighborhood. So due to some technical difficulties, I'm not sure how many more times it's going to happen. We're just going to get right into the plug-in picks of the week and wrap up the show. So, Marcus, go ahead.
You got it. Okay, well, this week I chose three plugins from Code Canyon. So I picked three different ones that you can find on Envato. These are my personal favorites, okay? The first one is Cornerstone. Cornerstone is a really nice front-end WordPress page developer. You can save templates, pages, things like that. It really works well. I've used a ton of other builders, whether that be you know, Visual Composer or the Divi Builder or things like that. Cornerstone is really cool because it used to be actually packaged with one of my favorite themes, which is called X, but now they've actually removed it and made it its own standalone plugin, which now works with any theme that you have. So check it out. That's called Cornerstone. The next one is WordPress Social Stream. And now this is something that I purchased recently and I'm integrating to my own personal site. Basically, it makes little contact cards and things for every single post that you do on your social accounts, and that includes LinkedIn, which is that ever-present non-working thing that we keep talking about all the time. So it's a really cool plugin, WordPress Social Stream. And finally, one that I personally love because it keeps people guessing is HideMyWP, and essentially what that does is it changes some of your PHP files and core things that typically would get hacked. It makes it so that you can't even detect that it's a WordPress site. It changes around your upload directory for your media so you can protect that, and it also lets you know if there's any nefarious activity that might be going on too. So that one is called HideMyWP, and those are my very that's the very first time I've done paid plugins like this, but it fits the occasion, and those are my plugin picks of the week.
Fantastic. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. There will be no show next week. I'm actually taking a vacation, taking the wife down to Tennessee, so I'm going to very much enjoy that. And then we'll be in the month of June when we come back, and we'll have a whole new round of guests to speak to, and I'm working on getting Matt Mulloway. I'm going to try and get him in June. Man, there's so much stuff to talk to him about. And by the way, listeners out there, I may do a pre-recorded show because we've missed the news segment in the previous couple episodes, and you're probably, some of you out there are listening wondering what the hell is going on in the WordPress world. So I may do a pre-recorded show of some of the headlines just to keep you up to date, and I'll push that out probably late this week, if not beginning of next. Let's see. Well, you can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffR0. And Marcus?
Find me at my site, MarcusCouch.com, and also MembershipCouch.com, where I'm going to send out a special announcement on June 1st, actually. So go sign up for that. And you can follow me on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Fantastic. So we'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks. Fresh, relieved, relaxed, and ready to get back on the WordPress train. Everybody, stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you again soon.